Aaron Portsline from the Columbus Dispatch joins us. AP, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing far better than the club that I cover, Jason. Thanks.
Oh, man. You've covered Columbus for a long time. You've seen some bad teams. This team isn't supposed to be bad. What's wrong?
You know what's amazing to me, and I'm struggling to find a way to say this so it doesn't sound bitter or petulant. It isn't. I don't know what has come over this crew. There is a, it's like a shock paralysis type where the mistakes being made are fundamental, rudimentary hockey 101 mistakes that I, for the life of me, I can't explain. It is the worst hockey, the most fragile, unconfident team I've ever seen. And I don't know how they get out of this. It looks, I know it's darkest before the dawn. It looks hopeless right now, the way that they're playing. Bobrovsky can't stop anything. The defensemen all over the roster, the defensemen have just been making absolutely brain dead passes. They're getting no support from the forwards. It is a wreck of a situation. And I got to tell you, I was shocked today to sit there in the rink when they took the ice and to see the coach in place and to see every player on the ice. I know they're trying to make changes, but they've made no changes to this point. It looks like they're going to play Tuesday going for 0-7 with everything still in place.
Do you think the coach is the problem?
Well, I mean, no. Let me say it this way. Do I think you can justify his firing? I absolutely think you can. I don't think it's Todd Richards' fault and his fault alone, but I don't know that's always the question before a firing is made. When you see such emptiness all over the ice, again, I've never seen it like this. Even in Columbus, I've seen players who just aren't good enough. I've not seen good players who mysteriously lose the capability of playing overnight. When it's this widespread across the roster, to me that seems justified, and I don't say that lightly because to me Todd Richards is a hell of a good man and a hell of a hockey coach, but something has befallen this team. To trade your way out of this, you got to trade 13 guys. I don't know the one trade shocks everybody into suddenly playing better, and it's, again, it's not like you said. People had high expectations for this team. These aren't players that have no ability and they're just fighting and playing their best and falling short. These are very well compensated players, experienced players in a lot of cases, and their performance is so far below the bar that I can't get my arms around it, and I don't think the smart people in the front office can either. They're stumped right now.
Aaron Portsline joins us from the Columbus Dispatch. Blue Jackets off to an 0-6 start, and they have been outscored 30-13 in those games. So basically losing by an average score of 5-2 in each game. Aaron, you mentioned you were surprised the coach is still there and even all the players. Which players do you think they are willing to move, who teams would have some interest in?
Well, I mean, this has all happened so quickly. You know, I know they're looking for defensive help, but this is such a hard time to make a trade. A lot of teams are still sort of getting to know their roster that they've put it together. I don't think people are looking to make fundamental changes to their roster right now. I mean, I think they're getting a lot of calls on, Wennberg, on Werenski. I'm sure they're taking phone calls on Johansson. Do they want to move Johansson? This is not a good time to make a trade, and that's why, again, I don't say it lightly, but that's why I think the coach is in some serious trouble here, because I think they're going to feel a sense of desperation and a strong desire to do something that rocks the foundation of the franchise. And I don't know that they're going to be able to make a trade that reaches that level. And that's why I keep coming back to a new coach, and I don't think it can be far off.
I look at the Blue Jackets and people say, okay, you got to think Bobrovsky's going to come back. God, they hope so, considering what, you know, he's a 7.425 cap. So they have to hope that it's just a, you know, a tough stretch. When you look at their back end, Fedor Tutin, Johnson, Murray, Savard, Prout, Konaten, and Golubev, do you think their defense is good enough to at least be a playoff contender, or do they lack something on the back end?
Well, it's green. It's a young group of all of that group. There's only two guys that have played 200 games in the league. So, if people say you don't know what an NHL defenseman is until he's played 200-300 games in the league, they're not there yet with a lot of these guys. Having said that, I've seen these guys play, and I know that there is more to their game than is currently being shown. And again, it's not entirely the defenseman. They've all taken a turn with just horrendous turnovers, but the puck support from the forwards has not been there. Bobrovsky's not helping anybody. He's not doing anybody any favors now. He's not making any mistakes go away. Every mistake is ending up in the back of the net. I don't know if this group is – I think this group is good enough. This group of defensemen, yes, I think it's good enough to get them to the playoffs. I don't know if it's good enough to win in the playoffs, but I do know this. I know it's not a group of defensemen that makes it impossible for you to win at the NHL level. It's not a group of defensemen that leaves you so poor you can't even lose a one-goal game yet. Every margin's been two or more goals per game. They're giving up five goals a game. I mean, they're on pace to give up more than 400 goals in a season. That is unheard of right now. They're not this bad. And again, I'm not smart enough to know what it is that ails them or what's befallen this group, but it is unbelievable to watch them play hockey right now, because it looks like a gym class that's just been told how this game is played, and now they're going out to try it for the first time. It's that far behind the rest of the league, and I don't get it.
Well, yeah, that makes no sense. It's not like it's a new coach. You know, Todd Richards was there last season. He didn't change his whole system. I know they always tweak one or two things. But so let's say they lose against the Islanders tomorrow night. And if they went 0-7, I think you'd probably be surprised if they didn't make a coaching change. I was reading some of your stuff, and you're talking about guys like Tortorella, Boucher, other. Who do you think would be the best fit if you had to prognosticate for potential coaches who are available?
Well, here's how I look at it. John Davidson is close with John Tortorella. They have a very good friendship.
Okay.
So there's something. And Davidson is the president of hockey operations here, for people out there that may not know that. There's that. Jarmo Kekalainen's answer to everything, literally to everything, is work harder. Harder. More. Work harder. Give me more. More effort. You know, you can be working harder. Even late in your career, if you're a proven NHL player, you can be doing more to get better. That's how Jarmo Kekalainen is built. And they've reached a point now here yet again where this marketplace is sour again. They feel like they have been just teased and brought along by this team and this organization so many times. The feeling of frustration and hostility has already arrived. It's palpable already. I think they need to do something. They need to get their leadership and their sternness from a coach if they're not getting it from within the room. The marketplace needs a jolt as well as the team does. I don't know if there's a coach you come to the rink to watch coach in the league right now. I know Tortorella is one of those guys that moves tickets. I think there's a lot of people here who are angry. This goes for the front office as well as the fans. They want to see this team get kicked in the AFF. And if that's all in place, to me, Tortorella just makes way too much sense.
Okay. Wow, he's got a pretty big ticket, too, remaining from Vancouver. I wonder how that would work out between the two. Plus, would Columbus, I don't know, does Columbus have to, would they have to pay to hire Tortorella because he's under contract? You know, like, would they have to give up a draft pick under the most ridiculous rule in the NHL?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how that works if the coach is not currently employed.
Well, no,
because
lots of them, if they're fired, that happened to, the Oilers had to do it. Like, Chiarelli had been fired, right? And same with John Tortorella. He still had term left on his deal, and they had to give up picks. So I don't know.
Yeah, for some reason, I think it might be a third-round draft pick if the guy's not currently on a bench, or a second if he is. So,
yeah, no, yeah, it's, I don't uh, It would seem strange that a guy who's got 3 years left on his contract from the other team has been out of the league for a year and a half and they still got to give compensation. It's the worst rule going in sports right now. Lastly, how has Brandon Saad looked?
You know, he's been fine. I mean, he's been okay. He's one of the guys, I think, if you were going to make a list of guys who have underperformed, he'd probably be toward the bottom of the list. He's been fine. Power play goals mostly, but you know, you worry about a guy like that who's obviously coming from such a history of success, short history, but wild success nonetheless. You wonder how frustrated and how disappointed he's going to be. I think he handled it great. I think he's genuinely excited. He just, man, when you get your head beat in so many times, you wonder how a guy like that's going to handle it. But in terms of his play and his persona, he's been just fine.
And lastly, how long before Bobrovsky maybe, like, I know he started 5 out of 6, and the problem is, you know, their backup gave up as many goals as he did, so it wasn't like it was a big improvement. But if he struggles, would they sit him down for a few games, or is this Bobrovsky's team regardless of an .835 save percentage?
Yeah, well, I mean, they got to get him going eventually. I don't know who starts tomorrow against the Islanders. McElhinney was actually pretty good in Chicago. If Bobrovsky was playing that game, it may have been 7 or 8.
Okay.
He made 4 or 5 spectacular saves and was pretty solid. Gave up a 5-on-3 goal that I don't think you could put on him. He was good. I mean, I think your best chance to win tomorrow night is McElhinney. And Richards, while not committing to a goaltender for tomorrow night, seemed to hint that he was very pleased with how McElhinney played in Chicago, and it was maybe made it a more difficult decision for him than he had anticipated. But I don't know who goes tomorrow night, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was McElhinney.
Which should be an interesting one to watch. I think a lot of eyes in the NHL will be on Columbus tomorrow to see, because if a loss occurs, we could see the first coaching change of the season. I don't think anybody expected that coming out of Columbus.
Crazy. Yeah, there'll be a lot of it. If you like your train wrecks, tomorrow night could be an interesting game.
Appreciate your time, Aaron, as always.
My pleasure, Jason. Thank you.